It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 31-year veteran with Keller Williams, located in Boca Raton. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Terry, what's going on in your world? I mean, the rest of us are quarantined and trying to stay out of trouble. What are you doing?
Well, I am quarantined and I'm looking to get into trouble. Yeah. So the world of real estate, things have definitely quieted down. And that's, of course, across the country. But when we look at the numbers in Palm Beach County, what I've been tracking, Steve, is I want to keep an eye on what's going under contract and how many new listings are coming on. So let's just take, for example, since March 31st and today's the 14th, we'll just say for a 12-day period of time, We brought in 209 new pending sales the 1 week, and then 217. So you're looking at, say, 425 new contracts, if you will.
Okay.
And about, say, 700, a little over 700 new listings. So, you know, what am I saying by all of this? There's new listings still coming on the market, and buyers and sellers are coming together and, you know, bringing contracts under contract.
Yeah, but like we talked about last week, the whole way it's being done has got to be totally changed.
It's totally changed. You know, we're doing social distancing. We're wearing gloves, you know, in some cases, booties, masks, depending on the house, if it's vacant. And quite frankly, no one's supposed to be in the house. The seller's not supposed to be in the house. We're not really even supposed to enter the house with the client.
Yeah.
We have certain rules that we're adhering to, and we're able to do so much now digitally. We can do Zoom conferences, we can write contracts electronically. And it's interesting, you know, when we first went into this, we had the shock and awe, okay, how are we going to do our business? And I ran out and videoed all my properties, and I'm calling them virtual walking tours. Mm-hmm. And we have them available for people to take a look at. And as we kept rolling on, things, you know, started off like, how are we going to do our business? Now it's almost becoming like, this is the new norm. And it's starting to feel comfortable in that, you know, you develop a new rhythm in the way that you wake up in the morning and, and how you start your day and what you're doing. You know, how are you going to get in touch with your buyers, your sellers? And it's an interesting phenomenon.
Are sellers letting buyers in their homes?
Some do, some don't. It really depends on their health and their situation. Obviously, the more motivated the seller, they're allowing it, and we're just taking extra precaution.
Okay.
The homes that are vacant, I'll give you an example. I took a vacant property up for sale, and we priced it aggressively. We had one figure in mind right before the coronavirus. We were going to go in at $295, which we thought was a good number, pricing it well. Well, when we actually rolled it out on Friday, right before Easter, we put it on the market for $275. Friday, Good Friday and Holy Saturday, we had over 30 showings. There were people, agents, lining out the door to show this property. And we ended up with, you know, five offers. We sold it for $28,000 over asking. So the moral of the story is, if it's priced right, especially if it's a vacant property, they're moving.
Now, was that a function of the price point? Because I know in months past, you've said that the price point sales picture is quite different depending upon where you are and what level you're at.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is entry-level house, and there's such a strong demand for it. And when one is in excellent condition, well cared for, and shows well, and you've got some great pictures and photography and walking tours, and everybody is able to see it, that was all contributing factors. And if, quite frankly, if it wasn't for the pandemic situation that we're in, I would have sold it just as fast. Not sure that it would have gotten the number that we got. So it just hammers down the point that if it's priced properly, it will sell. Even if it's a higher price point, we went and showed a house the other day, and it was in the 800 range, Steve, and they priced it aggressive. This seller is relocating, has to sell. We were the second person in, and they sold it that day to the first person in.
Oh, why? Now, getting back to this $290,000, so what was the final price on that?
$303,000.
Okay.
We asked $275,000 and yeah. we sold it for $303,000.
Now, was that a cash deal or was there a mortgage on that?
No, there's actually a mortgage. And that brings up another interesting topic. So I didn't have any cash buyers. The investors weren't looking at it. It was all end users. And we had the five offers and we had to decide who was the strongest financially. And, you know, what I've come to realize in all of this, what's really important is where is the income being derived? So the offer that we ended up accepting was a person who is on disability and part of his income is from the government. So we know that his income is constant. Mm. Where if we had accepted another person's offer where they have, you know, a job, we don't know that their income is going to remain constant in the next 30 days. And what's happening, Steve, is the banks are the day before closing, re-verifying that the borrower is still gainfully employed, that their income is still the same, and that they don't foresee any changes in their employment status.
So you have a situation where a buyer may be pre-approved for a loan or approved. Not pre-approved.
Approved for their loan. They've already got mortgage commitments.
And now because of the virus, the day of closing or the day before, the bank is checking their source of income to see whether they have a job or will have a job?
Yes, that's correct. A couple days before closing, they're re-verifying everything. They're re-verifying proof of income, money in the bank. So interestingly enough, with our contracts, if you've already been approved for your finance, you have 30 days to get a mortgage commitment, you get your mortgage commitment, you're locked and loaded. So if the deal were to fall apart, the buyer loses out. The money is forfeited to the seller. Yeah. So in this particular case, if that were to happen, which really isn't fair, the deposit money can go to the seller and no fault of the buyer.
Yeah, that brings up all kinds of problems, which we'll get to next week, but unfortunately we're out of time. My guest, as always, is Terry Story, a 31-year veteran with Keller Williams, located in Boca Raton, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.